Welcome to Mama Tales, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. Today, we dip our toes into something that a lot of us are thinking about, and that is school for our kids. Last week, I introduced you to Gina, a mom of two girls who approaches parenting in a very intentional way. One big thing for them is their take on how to introduce learning to their kids. At some point during her parenting journey, she came across Montessori and the ideals it holds on preparing a child for the world. However, this idea, this term has been thrown around a lot over the years and has led to some wild ideas and theories about what it seeks to achieve.
I find it a bit tricky to talk or to share a lot about it because I do feel that it's quite misunderstood, especially, you know, when you say Montessori, the assumption is that, okay, that's a way to teach children to read and write very early on, or that's a way to teach them their numbers very early on. So I'm a bit hesitant always to share like what we're doing at home, because then it becomes like, oh, where can you get this material? Or how can I teach my, you know, 1.5 year old to, like, I don't know, do some advanced calculus or something like that. And it's just like, no, that's not the point.
So in this episode, we're going to get a little bit into that and a few thoughts on what education and teaching their children means for them. Before we jump into that episode, I want to pose a question. Are you currently co-parenting? Do you have a formal agreement on how to share parental responsibilities? If you do not have one, why? What concerns or issues or questions do you have around parental agreements, child maintenance, your rights or your child's rights when it comes to co-parenting? Well, I will be hosting a workshop on the very first day of February with the goal of digging into this. Our guest will be Ivy Kathungu, the family lawyer who I had in episode 48. That was one of the episodes for the Holiday Guide series. And she is an expert in this stuff, so I think it's a good place to pick her brain. The event is free to attend. Just register. You can find the link in the show notes of this episode or in my socials. That's at Mama Tills Podcast or Sally Mugure. In that form, there's a section where you can drop in your question or story or scenario, and you can choose to be completely anonymous. So in that case, I will share it with her on your behalf. So please do not hesitate to ask everything you can think of. And let's just be honest. Why in this Nairobi of ours are you going to be taking up a lawyer's time for free? So quick summary, if you're co-parenting, you might want to join us on February 1st at 7 p.m. for a chat with a family lawyer. Registration form is linked in the show notes. It's time for this week's highlight, this nugget of time where we look back at our past week for moments that brought us joy, because boy, don't we need it. Before I share my highlight, I want to share a comment from one of our listeners. She shared this on Spotify. Yes, you can share your feedback, answer or question or interact with the episode if you listen to it on Spotify Mobile. So Maggie reached out, I think that's her username, and she said this. My highlight is becoming an auntie again. I didn't think it was possible to be obsessed with a baby that I did not birth, but here we are now. This podcast helps me learn how to support his mama. Oh my God, I love this. Thanks so much for sharing that with me, with us. I know quite a number of you listening are not moms, but are supporting moms, or you are using this podcast to prepare yourself for the journey of motherhood that's ahead of you. Whatever brought you here, I appreciate you. And yes, I think this moment right here was my highlight. Well, that and the fact that my daughter had her first full week at kindergarten, and she seems to be having a lot of fun with it. On her very first day, her teacher's feedback was that she seemed like a very quiet child. This caught me off guard, and I did laugh because my daughter is as far from quiet as it can go. But I think it just goes to show that she needed some time to get into it, to observe and find her voice. By Friday, that notion of quietness was quickly put down as she started asserting herself, which I love for her. I'm really curious to see what this next few months will look for her. And on that note of school, let's jump into the episode. But do remember, if you want to share anything with me, that's your feedback, a comment on the episode, or your own highlight, check out the Q&As that I leave on each episode on Spotify, or fill out the little form that is also in the show notes of the episode. This conversation with Gina came at an interesting time for me. I was looking for a kindergarten for our daughter. I have continually talked about my anxiety when it comes to picking school or an education route for my kids on this podcast. And a few episodes ago, I finally figured out why. I believe I talked about this in the first episode of the year, that's episode 51. As a kid, I really moved around schools a lot, like more than you would say an average child. And I think I still carry that trauma with me. I didn't realize it was any sort of trauma, but it came with so much anxiety. And I am afraid of doing the same thing that was done to me, to my kids. So I've always felt the pressure of getting it right the first round. But that's pretty unrealistic. After what felt like a year of procrastinating and dilly-dallying around this decision, we finally made up our minds.
It's Sunday, 5 p.m.
I'm going to be overlaying some audio that I captured this past week as we were preparing for her first day of school.
We are leaving the house to go to the mall to buy school shoes for my daughter. We're planning on probably, I don't know, starting school tomorrow. That's Monday. If you're not ready, then that's Wednesday. But it's all pretty exciting.
I used to think Montessori was the name of a fancy school, a school only the top 1% can afford, a school that mostly white or mixed kids attended. When I was preparing for the birth of my daughter, YouTube did its thing and recommended a video whose thumbnail was too interesting to ignore. I clicked on the video and there was this little girl, maybe 2 or 3, going into the kitchen. She made herself some cereal and went back to the dining table and sat down to eat. After that, she cleared the table, took the dishes to the sink, and poured herself a glass of water. I was gobsmacked. In my mind, kids were helpless little things that required us to do everything for them until they turned 6 or something. But here was this little girl who seemed so independent and sure of herself. I had to know how. And that's how I got into the rabbit hole of what Montessori is. A quick definition of Montessori is that it's a method of education or a method of life that can be described by a few things. It is child-led and it is focused on self-directed activity in a prepared environment. So your job as an adult is to prepare the environment and let the child self-direct. Montessori also promotes freedom for the kids, but with limits. I learned that this is just not a school thing, but it is a definite way of life. And I dedicated myself to exposing our home and our kids to it. And so did Gina.
So once I was, you know, coming out of the like postpartum fog, you know, yeah, being able to like breathe again a little bit, I found Montessori. I think it's quite out there, especially on social media. So I found a few books that I was advised to read, and then I started reading Dr. Montessori's work herself, and I think that's when things changed a lot, because then I realized that it's so much more than you know, the tips and the tricks and the hacks, yeah, and the fix of, you know, quick fixes in parenting, but it's really about yourself as an adult and kind of the deep transformational inner work that you need to do and the shift that you need from this very adult-centered and adult-centric society to see children as perfect human beings and, yeah, complete human, yeah, beings, and without us needing to constantly pour our whatever wisdom, knowledge, etc. into them. So that was the, that was like a big fundamental shift for me and an approach and to life. And so I decided that I wanted to know more. And so I got trained as well. And I wanted to, you know, share more and like help others. And the way I had benefited from other people sharing their knowledge, you know, make it more accessible as well to other parents who were also interested, demystify some of these concepts. And yeah, I think that in the toddler years, it's really very much kind of aligned to seeing Montessori come alive in front of your eyes, like seeing the approach, you know, when toddlers, they want that independence, they want to do it by themselves, they're so interested in helping around the house, and, you know, they start suddenly, like, this explosion into language, and you're able to really see all of these things that you read about, you're able to see it come to life in front of your eyes, so that's really exciting. And then you know, you slowly move into the more challenging behaviors as well, the tantrums, the pushing back. And then again, you know, you're able to tap or go deep within and tap into that inner, like, patience or inner calmness and, you know, regulation and help your child through whatever they're experiencing and help them co-regulate. So, And then as they grow, you know, you realize that they are already learning so much from their natural environment. So things that you really don't need to teach them, they learn how to differentiate between colors. They learn how to speak by themselves, yeah, pretty much, you know, different languages. They absorb whatever is around them. So that absorbent unconscious mind between 0 to 3 years, as termed by Dr. Maria Montessori, and then from 3 to 6 years, it's the conscious absorbent mind. So really where they are absorbing from the environment, but they know what they're taking in. So just having this environment that is really enriching for them, and that they're able to learn what they are interested in and what they need to in an age appropriate and you know, developmentally appropriate way, I think that's really beautiful to witness, and giving lots of time for, you know, free unstructured play outdoors, for building creativity, for innovation, for them to show you, you know, their interests, and for them to grow as per where they are at, the particular developmental level that they are at. Yeah, yeah. So that's kind of how, you know, we got into the sort of the play and preparation of the environment in the early years, in the toddler years, and then as she moved on to the primary years, which is like 3 to 6 in a Montessori environment. So I began learning more about what are the needs at that age and how could I support those needs, and what would I need to do to to support her learning at home. And so I did a few homeschooling courses and learned about you know, the different subject areas, the Montessori method or curriculum, so to speak. And yeah, we've been, you know, practicing at home in a child-led way. She also does attend a few hours of kindergarten. Well, she will be starting kindergarten soon in the morning. So it's primarily supplemental now, but it has been really exciting for me to also learn more and understand concepts about, you know, how children learn to read, how they learn mathematics, you know, what is the sensorial curriculum in Montessori, how does it all link together, what is the ultimate sort of vision and goal of education, you know, do we want children who are well-rounded, who are resilient, who are kind, empathetic, who know how to learn rather than what we are telling them to learn, you know, to have this, create this love for learning. So again, as I mentioned in the beginning, where, you know, we have this conversation about, between my husband and myself, about what are our sort of parenting goals and vision. So similarly, we have also a conversation around what are educational goals and vision, you know, what do we want for our children in terms of their education and how can we get there. And our answers were really that we don't want this pressure, we don't want this early introduction of academics, we don't want them to learn concepts that they are not developmentally ready for. And at this age, based on all the research and evidence, we know that they should be playing because that's where they're learning the most. So yeah, that's kind of been our approach to education. I find it a bit tricky to talk or to share a lot about it because I do feel that it's quite misunderstood, especially, you know, when you say Montessori, the assumption is that, okay, that's a way to teach children to read and write very early on, or that's a way to teach them their numbers very early on. So I'm a bit hesitant always to share like what we're doing at home, because then it becomes like, oh, where can you get this material? Or how can I teach my, you know, 1.5 year old to, like, I don't know, do some advanced calculus or something like that. And it's just like, no, that's not the point. I feel like I've personally learned a lot myself, and I wish like I had learned this way when I was a child and in school. But yeah, so far it's been good.
There is still a lot of miscommunication and misunderstanding of what Montessori is. A lot of schools use it as a marketing gimmick, a way to raise the fees and attract a certain type of clientele, which is not the point of Montessori. Its roots is in children's homes, orphanages, or places where kids did not have much. But somehow over the years, it's turned into a commercial product, full of toys and activities and hacks and whatever that just ends up costing a lot of money and becomes quite exclusive. But this episode isn't about what Montessori is and is not. That's a whole other thing that we are not going to get into right now. But I think for any school system or any choice that you're going to be making, there are some things that each of us needs to think about, to prioritize and to hold as values that work for your family. What is important for one family doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same for you. We all have different goals. My daughter is not going to have Montessori school.
So we are here, bright and early Monday morning, trying to see if she'll vibe with it. She still doesn't.
Although she is going to be attending a school that celebrates her independence, and it aligns with the values that we have and the things that I was looking for in school.
Bye, back. Come on, come back. Kato, kwa niya? It's in bebe bag kama kato. She'll treat herself.
It's also one that understands her capacity to grow and will allow her to explore her interests. For Gina, a choice of school comes with a lot of thought.
And the same with parenting, like how we have this, you know, unlearning process on what it means to be a parent and, you know, asking ourselves questions on, you know, why do we need obedience from our children? And, you know, why do we need them? What is discipline? What does it mean? You know, do we want children who can think for themselves and, you know, ask questions and stand up for themselves? Or do we want children to just follow us meekly and, you know, listen to everything that we say? And so that whole process of, like, really reparenting and, you know, going back to our own childhoods and kind of looking at them critically and seeing and thinking about what we want for our children's future, and then unlearning a lot ourselves. So I think there's a similar process that happens around education, you know, and or that needs to happen, which is a process of de-schooling. So really it's, again, going back to the educational approach that you experienced, and how did you feel about that experience? What did you enjoy? What did you dislike? I feel a lot of us have a lot of trauma from school as well. Like, I think parents is one thing, but then school is a whole other thing, right? So really unpacking that, and then also looking at, you know, why are our systems of education the way they are which is a lot to do with the colonial system and structures and the way they were set up because of the kind of learning that the colonizers allowed you to have, right? It was a specific kind of learning and a specific way of learning, which unfortunately we have, you know, they've moved on, their systems of learning have evolved, but we've sort of carried forward a lot of that that way of learning, and which again developed during the Industrial Revolution in response to not having enough workers, factory workers, so really putting children through the system and training them to become workers, compliant, obedient workers who never, challenged the status quo or anything like that. So obviously we've come a huge way from since then, but maybe our educational approaches or methods haven't evolved as much. So without going too much into the past, but really thinking about like, okay, what can we do about that now? And it's okay that, you know, it's okay if we have certain limited options, because there aren't too many options out there considering, you know, budget and location and all of that. But for me, I think like my personal like non-negotiables are being in a really loving, caring, warm environment, at least especially in the early years, and having, you know, this unstructured time for play, not having to sit in one place, not having to hold a pencil right now and write, not having to rote memorize numbers or you know, letters, not being spoken to disrespectfully by teachers. So those things are kind of fundamental for me. The rest of it is okay. You can, you know, you can work around it. And if still you are, for whatever reason, that you are still in us in this kind of system, the more mainstream traditional system, then it is completely possible to do many things at home to support your child, in the sense that when they come back home, give them lots of time for play, give them lots of time to relax, to unwind, understand that they'll come back home like also frustrated and tensed and, you know, maybe upset about lots of things because they've spent the whole day away. Consider pushing back with the schools and with the teachers on some aspects such as homework, which is again something totally unnecessary for the youngest children. So consider what are your values, principles, and maybe question some of these beliefs that you had about education and what that should look like for the future. Because I think there's like enough research that shows that we don't actually know what are some of the jobs that are going to be out there, right? By the time our children graduate, like we don't actually know what jobs will be there. So there's no point trying to train them or push them in this certain academic path when they might not even need that information or that knowledge when they're, you know, 18, 20 years old or starting to join the workforce or whatever. So rather, if you are focused on curiosity and instilling this real love for learning, then it doesn't matter whatever it is, whatever they have to learn to succeed, they'll do that, you know. So it's kind of like shifting our beliefs about what's important and what isn't, you know. And maybe academics, academic learning in the most traditional way, top-down, teacher-led, teacher-driven, may not be the best option. But I won't say that academic learning is not important, because it really is. But there are ways for it to be child-led, based on their interests and based on their needs. And that's very much the Montessori method of education at its in its core and its essence. Yeah. Yes. So our practical life started like in a very organic way of me just, you know, sharing about my 6-month-old baby at that time and what was going on, which was a lot of it was about solids and exploring that. And as she became a toddler, it was about learning about the Montessori approach and sharing how we implemented it in our homes. Yeah. In our home and how others could also implement it in their homes. And then since then, it's kind of evolved as I've also evolved as a parent. And I share about, as I mentioned, about child development, about home education, about reparenting. And that's one of my goals is really to be able to do more in terms of offer more resources and more support to other parents and at a more, you know, accessible and affordable price point compared to, you know, some of the resources that we have, which are more suited for a international audience. So I had a workshop, which we did online, and it was recorded, and now we have the pre-recorded or the recording available for sale, as well as then a free guide for toddlers. And then I'm hoping to soon also release Montessori from Birth guide. So it would be for the first year of life, the key information, what you need, what you don't need, both in terms of things, but also in terms of resources, where you can source things. So really a comprehensive resource for the first year of life that you could get for yourself if you're expecting or if you're a new parent, but also gift someone else who is going to become a parent. I think having I'm trying to develop the resource that I wish I had when I was a new parent. So that's something else that I'm working on and hopefully be able to share later this year. And then I also do one-to-one consultations for those requiring a little bit more support and who would like to talk through some more issues that they are experiencing or challenges that they're experiencing beyond what I'm able to do by direct message or through the workshops, which are a bit more the group level. So being able to afford provide some individualized support as well. Yeah. It's still I do, you know, work full time, so this is still my side job. But it's like my passion projects, but I'm trying to, you know, be more intentional about like carving out more time for it as well. So I've been working on my website really redoing the content and the information available there, and then once it's ready I will share.
I want to thank Gina for her time once again and this thought-provoking conversation. She has talked about the work that she does with Our Practical Life. So if you're interested, please take your time to look at it. Remember, we are having our first event of the year on February 1st. This is specifically tailored for co-parents. So if you're one or you know one who might benefit from this session, please point them to the registration form in the show notes of this episode. Next week, we are going to get into one of the scariest stories I've ever had. Did you know that breast engorgement can lead to surgery? That story next week. Feel free to show support to this space by sharing it with a friend or two who you think might enjoy it, or buy me a cup of dawa. Like I said, any support goes a long way in keeping things going on here. See you next week. Bye.